Welcome to Traffic Conversations. I would like to first of all remind you to please send us a voice note using the link in the show notes. Let us know what you think about this episode or previous episodes that you may have listened to that made an impression on you. We would like you to send in questions and possibly make suggestions about topics that you would like us to discuss on the podcast. Perhaps your suggestion might feature in a future episode. Right, so this episode is going to focus on a topic that came up when I was preparing my family to move to Canada. Now, the question didn't come up like, hey, I'm going to write a script for a podcast episode that I'm going to record later. It was a question that came up while I was in the throes of preparing to move, and it just kept coming back again and again and again, because while I was preparing to move, I was watching a lot of YouTube videos and receiving a lot of content about transitioning to a new country. And one topic kept coming up again and again in my consciousness, and that was the fact that marriages fail after the couple or the family relocates. So today I want to talk about why marriages fail when they relocate. Now, I'm going to do my best to touch on certain key points. This is by no means going to be an exhaustive conversation around this topic, but there are some thoughts that I've had a year to think about. I also went through a few of the things that I'm going to be talking about today, and I hope that what I have to share will be helpful to you or someone you know that is going through a particularly difficult season after they moved countries. Now, just stay tuned, and I just believe that this is going to be one of the episodes where I'm just going to, like, you know, reach deep down, get some really, really important points that will be beneficial to you. This is Traffic Conversations, a safe place where we talk about your family, faith, finances, friends, and fitness. It's all done with the aim of helping you have your best life. Welcome. Now, there have been many stories like, you know, this play out. Family gets an opportunity to move to a new country. They move. The wife gets a job first, begins to earn, discovers that she has relevance in the economic future of the family. Husband feels uncomfortable and insecure. They get into, you know, heated disagreements. The wife believes that she has found her voice, and then eventually husband gets kicked out of the house, or wife leaves to move to new country ahead of the family before the husband arrives, either with or without kids. He discovers eventually that wife has an affair with another man, and she's asking for a divorce. Or the man moves, and before the wife shows up, he has basically replaced her with another woman. Or he moves and frustrates the attempts to relocate his wife because he doesn't want to spoil the good thing that's happening in his life because he found someone new in the new country. The list goes on and on and on. It's exhausting. And there are a few of these scenarios that personally I have observed. You know, these are things that have happened to people that are within my radius. my relationship radius. And there are quite a few that I have not named. I don't want this episode to be about me rattling off all of the endless possibilities of what could happen when families relocate. Now, I had planned to play a video because I'm also recording this on video. And like I said earlier, we're experimenting on using video as well as audio for the podcast releases. And I was planning to play a video of some footage of a wife kicking her husband out of their flat. And the husband was filming the experience. He had just returned from his night shift at work. And he was narrating how pitiful the situation was, because when they arrived, he trained her to be a nurse. And now that she's a nurse and that she's earning more than he is, she began to act out, and he tried to correct her. And he comes home and finds his suitcase is packed, and she's ushering him out of the premises. And I wanted to play that video, but I thought better of it because this is mostly an audio situation. And in spite of the fact that it would have made for a great insert into this content, I think, one, the video has not been fact-checked to prove that it is not something that was acted out. Two, the privacy of the individuals involved should also be considered. If an individual decides that they want to air their dirty laundry in public, I don't think it is smart for the onlookers to walk beside them and offer to assist in the hanging of the dirty laundry. So for the sake of propriety, and just considering the fact that maybe after a couple of days the individual thought better of it and removed the post, and then my podcast continues to perpetuate the footage, will not be healthy for the marriage, especially if they decide to resolve their differences. Now, my experience with relocating has put me in a very unique situation, because before I got married to my wife, there was a decision that I made, and that was that I would never actively consider or discuss divorce or separation. It doesn't mean that my marriage has not gone through its own seasons of difficulty. Look, in talking with people about marriage, one of the things I try to tell people who aren't married and people who maybe, I think I've mentioned it to people who are married, but I've said to them, look, that marriage is an impossible feat. You have two people who are completely different individuals, and on top of that, they are separate. They are separate genders, and they come together under the same roof, and then they are meant to suddenly magically have a happily ever after situation. Before I got married, I watched a lot of Hollywood marriages, society weddings. Back home in Nigeria, we call these things society weddings, where the couple would be on magazines showcasing how lavish the weddings are. We would look at magazines from the United States, North America, and would see all the celebrities having fantastic weddings, which put a lot of pressure on those of us who were not yet married, because our fiancés were reading these magazines. And a few months later, a couple of years later, this supposedly Cinderella, not a Cinderella story, but fairy tale marriage or wedding, turned out to be not so much of a fairy tale wedding. There was no happily ever after, because the individual who got married eventually separated from their spouse, and then they got divorced, and then they remarry, and then they get divorced, and then they get remarried, and so on and so on. And then every time they get remarried, is as the press kind of has amnesia that this they've seen this movie before. This person talked about how they were in love with their former spouse. Everybody celebrated their love, and then divorce, and then there's a new person in town. So it's almost like the press encourages this bad behavior because they don't have anything better to write about. So if you would give us the footage where the world watches you crash and burn again and again on repeat, we'll take it. And so the press keeps enabling this kind of behavior. And I saw these marriages come and go. And it was a source of concern for me because I said to myself, now, here are gorgeous individuals. I mean, you know the type. Actors that look good and they're getting married to somebody else who equally looks good. And then suddenly the marriage ends. And many times there are children in the mix. So I said to myself, look, the whole fairy tale scenario isn't what it's cracked up to be, because if it actually worked, marriages that started out this way with all the fanfare would actually last. So I began to talk to myself, which I recommend you do. And I said to myself, look, one, don't believe what you see in the magazines and on the screens. Two, never use the word divorce in your conversations with your wife. These are two things that I have held on to. And one of the things that it has helped me to do is help me keep my mouth shut during very difficult seasons in my marriage. People need to learn this because the words you use within your space enable that kind of quality. Let me give you an example. If you use the word divorce a lot or separate a lot in your conversations with your spouse, especially when you're having disagreements, the chances are that you're going to eventually get divorced. It is a law. It's a spiritual law. Like I've said again and again, I am a person of faith and I believe in these spiritual laws. Jesus said it. He said, you shall have what you say. And when you introduce these words into your home, these are the words that take root and eventually govern your home. And so when people come in and they are preparing for a divorce, I mean, when people come in and they're like, they are bracing themselves for a divorce, it eventually does happen. The conversations reflect their expectation, and then their attitudes, the way they handle disagreements, and then eventually they split up. So the way I handle my conversations is I ensure that that word never features in our conversations. I don't bring it up and she doesn't. Okay. I know I'm recording, but she doesn't. Okay. She doesn't. So, we've had very difficult seasons, okay? And when it was time for us to transition to Canada, it was as if our disagreements over the phone were dialed up to 11. It was a big concern because she was here, there was a lot of pressure, she was going through a very difficult time, her support system was back in Nigeria, and there was a time zone difference. There were a lot of things that were just not working out well, and she needed that extra support, which was very difficult for me to provide on command. And then we had several disagreements, and while I was preparing the kids to make the move, I kept asking myself the question, when you move over to Canada, what are you going to do? How are you going to handle the transition? Both of you are already going through a really rough patch. Are you going to behave yourself, or are you going to just let this thing consume your marriage? And I decided that I wasn't going to let all the tension and disagreement consume our marriage. One of the first conversations that my wife and I had when I arrived with the kids was, okay, now that we're here, what's next? And we decided that we were going to do things very differently. There were things that happened back in Nigeria that really contributed to, you know, a very, very, let me use the term, imbalanced relationship. We worked all the time. We were in traffic most of the day. We'd come back stressed out and on edge. And sometimes, you know, we would take it out on each other. I am the strong, silent type. She is a very, very, very vocal type. So she will talk a lot and I will be quiet a lot. It didn't help. And then it's time for us to make a new life here in Canada. And she says to me, what are we going to do now? We can't do the same old things we did in Nigeria, and we have to change. And I agreed. And we began to work at it. I'm glad to say that we're almost a year in and we're still together. And there's still a lot of work to be done because I'm not there. We haven't had a quarrel like in almost a year. We've not had a disagreement. You know, we've actually held to our agreement to really do things differently. Back in Nigeria, we didn't have an accountability system that, you know, she could call me out on or I could call her out on. So we got here and then we talked with an elderly couple and told them, look, you guys seem to have this marriage deal down pat. So we would like to be accountable to you. And we've been connecting with that couple and talking with them, you know, it's been one thing that has been very helpful. We've connected to other families, okay, and we've also been expressive of our, you know, of the purpose that we carry in our hearts. We try very, very much to be true to the things that we believe God has directed us to be involved with. And so we've been trying to live a very balanced expression of our marriage. The child raising chapter is the one that really pushes our buttons, because we really want our children to turn out right. And sometimes we're having conversations about our children and then it's like the, you know, the temperature in the room is going up and up and up, and then somebody just has to diffuse the system, the situation. And we've kind of been helped by God to make sure that we keep things balanced. It's been great. And looking back almost a year ago, you know, I would have said to anyone, look, I'm concerned that when I arrive in Canada, my marriage may not last long because of all of these fights that we're getting into on the phone. So we had to make a decision. Now, I want to make a very, very strong suggestion to you if you're listening and you've been watching all these content on social media that says, oh, it's, you know, it's relocation that wrecks marriages. It's moving to a new country that wrecks marriages and so on. Look, let's not be mentally lazy, okay? It's true that there are a lot of incidents where marriages break up after the couple moves, okay? But it is not the relocation that destroyed the family. There were already fractures in the marriage. The foundation of the marriage was already faulty. And if you do not work on your marriage in the country where you live, the extra strain of moving to a new country and possibly a new culture is really going to tell on your marriage. Most people who move their families from places like Africa, where men kind of run the show, if I could say that, they have more of a say on the home front. Most men in Africa are the breadwinners. of the home, and the wives are mostly employed with less financial input in the home. Now, when these families move over, usually the man sacrifices his high-paid job in that context, and they move to a new country, and both of them are literally starting at zero. And if the wife happens to be the first to get a job or get the financial advantage, the chances are that both of them may not handle it well. The wife may see it as her time to shine and rub it in, and the husband would do what men do in these situations. They get very insecure because men get insecure when their wives earn more than they do, and especially when the wives rub it in. So it's a bad mix, and eventually things go really horrible and the marriage breaks up. These are the things that tend to happen. And if you don't work on your marriage, if you're already seeing the signs that your marriage isn't where it should be, communication-wise, how often do you sit and talk? And you're talking not about the children or the future, but you're talking about each other. Like, how do you feel about things? What are you thinking? Is there something that concerns you? Is there something that excites you and provides support for your spouse when they also express their own concerns and their own their sources of excitement? These are things that draw people closer. I'm saying this out loud because I'm working on this in my marriage. I'm not perfect. Like I said, only a year ago, it looked like my family was going to be one of those families that they say got destroyed because they moved countries. But moving countries is not the reason why marriages fail. The marriage structure needs to be worked on. The couple needs to work on their communication. In fact, I would say the first thing that the couple needs to do is to find an older couple. Older, I don't mean people that are just 5 years older than they are. I mean like way older. Maybe couples that are in their 60s or 70s who have been together for 40 years or 30 years and 20 to 30 years and their marriage is still solid and you can see it. Of course, you need to interview the couple. What I mean by interview the couple, I mean just hang out with them a couple of times, talk with them, visit with them, just say, hey, would like to come and spend the evening with you and just talk and, you know, hang out and observe their dynamic, okay, throughout the period. You're not there to just relax and be entertained. You're interviewing the couple. You're making sure that these people are the real deal. Watch them like a hawk and watch what the husband does when he feels irritated, because the husband, look, when a couple is together, they will irritate each other. Forget the Hollywood picture of a happily ever after arrangement. It doesn't happen. People get irritated, and sometimes people have bad days, and they express their irritation in very, very colorful ways. So make sure that this couple is the real deal, and then approach them later if they pass the test and say, look, we want to do things differently and we would like you to work with us to make sure our marriage lasts as long as yours has, and so on. Just be very open. Then make friends. Look, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to simply come out and say it. You need to find these people in a good church. I'm sorry, but that is the place where really strong homes are nurtured and encouraged. And if you go to a really good church, the chances are you will find a couple just like that. This is the safest place to do it. And then you'll be able to have the support that you need to help your marriage get stable and move forward. So get rid of the pent-up resentment. If you and your spouse have had resentment about stuff that happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, you did this and I keep remembering it, get rid of it. Get rid of any sense of oppression. Now, mostly from the ladies. If you feel like your husband has been very, very oppressive, you know, he stifled you, he didn't let you get a good job because you wanted you to stay home with the kids and everything, talk about it. Don't let it sit in your heart, because when that financial break comes, either for you or for him, it's going to come out somehow. Okay? Talk about it. If there has been abuse in the home, that's a different topic. You guys need therapy, okay? You guys need therapy. Husband, get therapy. You don't put a hand on any woman, you know. So you got away with it wherever you came from, whether you came from Africa or Asia, you know, and you're in a new place. You can't do that, all right? And frankly speaking, if you don't change, I mean, that's it. Your wife is going to discover that, look, she doesn't have to put up with it, and that's it. But if you really care about your home and your marriage, deal with that. Both of you need therapy, and you need to talk about it. It's not like I'm saying you must stick with your spouse if he's intentionally abusive and unrepentant. But if both of you want to work on it, then please get therapy. Talk to someone. Get accountability. And if there's dissatisfaction in the marriage for any reason, you need to talk about it. You need to clear it out. There are people that enter marriages and they're like, oh, I thought my marriage would be like this and it didn't turn out like that. That unmet expectation has a way of festering and killing marriages. People read magazines and they're like, oh, this is what I want my marriage to be like. Oh, this is how I want my home to look. Oh, this is what. And they pile up all of these unrealistic, polished images of things that don't exist in the real world, and they want to bring it into their homes. And when you have an unrealistic expectation, it is already doomed to fail. It will not happen. And many people get this idea like, okay, I'm going to get a divorce and then the next marriage will be better. I'm sorry. It takes a miracle for the next marriage to actually be better. So most second marriages fail, and a higher percentage of third marriages fail. So changing your spouse is not the solution. You need to change you. And if you change you with your first spouse, it is a massive improvement. Why? You've trained your first spouse, they are used to you, and you only made your home better, and you create for yourself a future that is massively enjoyable. All right? Now, I've said a lot of things, and I don't want this episode to drag out. I try to keep my episodes below 20 minutes. This obviously has run way past the 30-minute mark. But what I would like to encourage you is this. Don't be afraid of good things happening for your family because you're scared that it's going to break up your home. Don't. Okay, there are a lot of YouTube videos and social media posts out there that tell you, oh, if you move your family, you're going to break up. And then the man is scared. Oh, I don't want to lose my family because I moved to a better place or moved to a country that we've always wanted to relocate to. No, good things are not meant to bring in the bad. The Bible says that the blessings of God makes rich and doesn't add any sorrow. So if this is a blessing from God, it should not destroy your home. So work on these things. The only time blessings create chaos is when the foundation that the blessing is meant to sit on is fractured. If you have a gambling addiction, financial prosperity is going to kill you, and a lot of other things, I could list out. If things already aren't balanced in your life, any blessing you put on top of that imbalance will kill you. Now, work on the foundation of your home. Work on the foundation of your marriage. Don't blame the blessing for any damage your home is experiencing currently. You need to go back to the foundations and work on your marriage. Remember, seek counsel, submit to it, and both of you need to be in agreement. You need to sit and have that come to Jesus talk. Do we want this marriage or do we want to break up? And if you really want the marriage, then you need to do the work. And you need to talk a lot. You need to talk a lot. Men, if you're not the talking type, you need to listen a lot. If the lady is the talking type, let her talk and listen and contribute and give back. This is a lot of work. You're not going to coast through this. You're going to need a lot of practice. You're going to need a lot of support. You're going to need a lot of support. And I'll advise you to do what my wife keeps telling people to do. Get books on marriage and relationships and read them, okay? Because sometimes it's what you know that's destroying your marriage. All right. Now, I know that there are cases where reconciliation isn't going to happen because one spouse has already made up their mind that they don't want the marriage to continue. Those situations are out there, and I know that some people might be listening to me and that is their situation. I want to tell you that I'm so sorry about that. I can't say that I know exactly how you feel, because that hasn't happened to me. I've seen it happen to other people, and I know it's heartbreaking. There are no words that people can say to take away the pain. It is a very painful situation, but I want to encourage you to heal up. If really this is the end for your marriage, determine to heal up. Be part of a strong community church. Integrate into the community. Heal. If you have children, invest in making sure that you are, if you have custody of the children, make sure that you're there for the children as much as you can. If you don't, do your best to be in their lives as much as you can. Okay, because you cannot let the children be collateral damage. They cannot be, because you're simply creating a cycle that is going to be perpetrated in a different home just a few years down the line. So get into a good church, connect with a community that loves you, and then trust God. If your heart is open to start a new marriage, a new home, really do this prayerfully. Do a review on the things that you could have done differently, and once you have the green light, from God and from your community that yes, it's time for you to get a new home going, determine to do those things that you didn't do in the last one, and determine to make this one work. Be very open and be very communicative about your concerns, okay, with your new spouse, and just be brave and enter into this with confidence. The support of your community and the support of those that love you, and prayer and being under the influence of elderly couples is something that's going to help you be more successful, or be successful in the new marriage. Okay. Now, I'm not an expert in remarriage. I can only say that these are the foundational things in relationships. And if you simply do these things, these are the things that make big relationships work. Communication, talking, being open, having an accountability system, you know, things to hold you in check when you're going off the rails. These are things that really help relationships, any relationship. And I believe that these are things that will help you. Of course, if you need professional help, get professional help and make sure that you cooperate with the process. Now, I would like to recommend my the last episode where I spoke about how to make big changes or how to solve big problems. And I'd like you to listen to that if you haven't listened to it. It's really a dossier, a short dossier on what to do when you're trying to make big changes in your life. All right. So just listen to that. I don't want to repeat the things I've said there, and I think I may have said them better in that episode focused on that topic. So I hope this episode has been helpful. I believe that this conversation needs to be done in a balanced and in an open way and in a responsible way. There are a lot of people that are saying a whole lot about how relocating is bad, how moving your family can be destructive to your marriage and your home, and all kinds of things that don't make any sense. You need to see things from the right perspective. And I believe that the perspective we've just looked into is reasonably balanced. And let me know if you think that I am wrong. Let me know if you have anything to contribute. Remember, use the link in the show notes to communicate and give me feedback. I love the feedback that I get from you. Just knowing that you're out there listening and that what I'm saying is helping is a massive boost to this show. I created this show to share from my life experiences and to also be able to contribute into to your life and help you make some progress in places that you may be lacking and I have some knowledge in, and also to be able to contribute as much as I can to your journey. And I hope that this additional topic helps. Not everybody might be listening to this who wants to relocate. Some of you might be listening and you're comfortable with where you live, but you can see that there are cracks in your marriage. Okay. Some of the pointers here are relevant, and I hope that you can take hold of them and use them to your advantage. Thank you once again for listening. I want to end it here. I don't want this to be a very long drawn out thing. It's really a burning topic, and I felt that I needed to put this out there for your benefit and help you along the way if you've been thinking about this topic. There's another topic that I would be thinking of recording soon, and that is a topic I've seen coming out again and again on YouTube, where people who have relocated say how they are going back to the countries where they came from. I'm going to do a session on that because it's hilarious that they are recording these videos while they are still in the country they claim to want to leave. My take on it is just they should do the video after they've left. Okay, but I'm not going to dive into that, but I think I'm going to do a session on that because it's always great to look at culture and what's going on and how people use negative narratives to try to get clicks. And I don't think that that is healthy, and I would like to kind of add my voice or lend my voice to this conversation to make sure that everyone is getting the right picture of these situations. Again, thank you for joining me for another episode, and I'm looking forward to having you on the next one. God bless you. You've been listening to Traffic Conversations. We hope you found the episode helpful. Remember to subscribe and share the episode with your family and friends. And if you want to ask a question or give us your feedback on something we said during this episode, use the link in the show notes and let us know. You can also find the links to the sponsors mentioned in this episode in the show notes. We hope you'll join us next time for another episode of Traffic Conversations.